Good morning, church. And man, it is good to see. Look at all this red and I guess the greens, we're the rebels. I don't know if it doesn't count as a Christmas color anymore, but we've got a few green people out there. Tommy, I'm glad to see you in the right camp. It's good to be together always, whether you are with us in person or you're joining us online. We're thankful for your presence. There's just something about, here we are, it's Christmas Eve, and the day before or the night before Christmas, it is so exciting. It's almost as exciting as the day itself, like the anticipation of seeing what's going to happen, how it's going to unfold, and anticipation is a big part of life. And maybe you can think to other exciting occasions where you had a lot of anticipation. Maybe it's the night before you get married, right? You're really looking forward to the wedding and starting your new life, or the night before graduation, or the night before you go on vacation, or one of those big events. Anticipation is a big part of life. It's part of what makes the great days in life even greater when we get to look forward to them. And not surprisingly, anticipation is a big part of the story in Scripture. Like, looking forward to what's going to happen is a big part of God's story. So long before Jesus was ever born, we get all of these hints that something big is coming. And we can go back and see these, they're called prophecies, these hints about something big happening. And God talks about it all throughout the Old Testament. One in particular, we're just going to look at this morning from Isaiah. Oh, I forgot to put that up there. They couldn't see it anyway. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 says, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign, and the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." Now, this name Emmanuel, you've probably heard this before. It means God with us. It's not just a prediction about what God's going to do. It's a promise about what God's going to do. About God is going to be with them, his presence with them. And that's exactly what God has always wanted, was to be with his people. When he, all the way back in the book of Genesis and Exodus, when God is delivering his people who have gone down to Egypt, like Tommy talked about in Egyptian bondage, when they went down there under Joseph. Well, later there, God is delivering because that living in Egypt turned into slavery in Egypt. And when God is delivering out of this captivity, he says, "I want you guys to make me a special tent, and I want you to set it up in the middle of your camp so that I can be right there in the middle with you." He says, "I'm going to be your God, and you're going to be my people." It's not just a hope. It's a promise. It's a sure hope. So it's just what God wanted, but it was also exactly what his people needed. It's exactly what they needed then when they were fleeing Egyptian captivity and living in the desert. But it's also just what they needed when Jesus was promised. You see, they were hurting and they were desperate for God to intervene. They'd been overtaken by this really powerful and brutal Roman Empire. And they were struggling to get free, and they'd fought, and they'd been defeated, and they'd fought and been defeated, and there'd been all these uprisings, and they kept trying to get out from underneath the boot heel of the Romans, but they just couldn't do it. So more than anything, they wanted to come down, God to come down and save them, to deliver them, to help them. So they were really looking forward to God doing just that. They had that same sort of anticipation. God said he's going to do it, and so we're going to be looking for this. They were looking for this promised Savior to deliver them. And then Jesus was born. This long-awaited Savior was still overlooked. Even though everybody was looking forward to it, even everybody was looking for it, they missed it. Maybe you've done the same thing before. Maybe someone has given you a great gift, but it wasn't the gift you were looking for. And so instead of a squishmallow, you got socks, right? and socks are not what you're looking for. Nobody's like, oh, I can't wait to get socks, unless you're a dad, and that's the one time of the year you get socks. But you don't get those socks and think, oh, thank goodness, I got some socks, right? You don't appreciate it at the time. And when Jesus showed up, the same thing happened. They weren't looking for him, so they didn't appreciate him, even though it was exactly what they needed. John chapter 1, verses 10 and 11 said, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, so I mean, if anybody should be recognized, it's the one that the whole world was made through, right? But the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. He came to deliver the whole world, but the deliverance he was promising was different than the deliverance that they were looking for. Because the salvation that Jesus came to bring wasn't just politically or militarily helping one nation out from under the oppression of another nation. Titus chapter 2 puts it this way. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. That's Jesus, right? And we're looking for the blessed hope, the glorious appearance of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people. Now, just look at that, and I want you to think about that for just a second. Because if you think about it, it's even more amazing than we anticipated. It's even better than the gift we were looking for. Usually what we're looking for is the immediate fun, right? Like a squishmallow that we all want. What we're looking for is the immediate big bang, and what Jesus promised was long-term salvation. But even more than that, if you think about how much the world was looking forward to Jesus, looking forward to the Savior appearing, looking forward to meeting this Savior, and apparently God was looking forward to this same event, but for different reasons. We were looking forward to meeting God, but even more than we were looking forward to meeting God, God was looking forward to meeting us. How about that? As much as we were looking forward to meeting God, he was looking forward to meeting us even more. And he didn't just want to meet us. Like maybe you've gotten to meet a celebrity or someone famous or a big politician, and you stand in the line of people, and they come out of the auditorium or the arena or a sports figure, you know, and they come out and they give high fives going down the line, or they shake your hand and say, so nice to meet you, I appreciate your support, or whatever it is. You get to meet someone who's really big and important. But God didn't just want to meet us in that way. In fact, that wasn't what God was looking for at all. No, he was looking forward to making us his special people, making us a part of his own family. In fact, when God did this, he set into motion this huge chain of events that would change the world. Because Jesus, now he did this, and the people he met, the people who encountered Jesus, he changed their lives, and the people who came to love him and know him and place their faith in him, absolutely Jesus changed their lives. But it didn't stop there, because those people went out and met other people, and they changed their lives. And those people went out and met other people, and they changed their lives. Over and over again, till this good news about God's family spread all over the world, and then down through all the generations, all the way up until this very morning in this very place. What Jesus did there, that good news, that great gift that he came to bring, did not stop in Bethlehem, did not stop in Jerusalem, did not stop in the Roman Empire, did not stop in the year 33 AD. What Jesus did then and there has spread all over the world, including to Manchester, Tennessee, and you and I sitting here this morning. Because all of that came to bring you right where you are, all the way until today, and even now, this very minute, the world is waiting to meet you. Now, it doesn't feel like that. Most of the time when I meet people, they are not looking forward to meeting me. I'm not anybody big or special or important, unless you count a school bus driver as big, special, and important. I'm nobody that anybody's looking forward to meeting, right? But apparently, that's exactly the way God put it. Because the world is looking forward to good news. And this special gift that's been delivered down to you and me is very good news indeed. In fact, the Apostle Paul in the book of Romans said that even though we struggle, even though life is hard, even though it is frustrating sometimes, and Christmas doesn't go the way you planned, and school doesn't go the way you planned, and work doesn't go the way you planned, and home is not the way you planned, even though all of this can go sideways, the Apostle Paul said this, that the whole creation waits in eager expectation for the sons or the children of God to be revealed. All of creation is waiting for us to be what God has made us to be. All of the people you work with, you go to school with, who live in your home, who live in your neighborhood or your city, they're waiting for you to be who God made you to be. And sometimes they can see a little bit of it shining through, peeking through the cracks on our good days. But there's going to come a day that they'll see even more. And that's what Paul was talking about. That one day we're going to be fully what God made us to be. So this morning, even as we thank God for his past gift, his amazing gift, and we look forward to tomorrow, or maybe already, having given and receiving more gifts with friends or with family, I want you to know that just as Jesus was God's gift to the world, was God's gift to you, that you are also God's gift to the world. Now, I don't say that in an egotistical way or a selfish way, because we know we're not perfect the way Jesus was perfect. So we're not God's gift to the world because we're perfect. We're God's gift to the world because, just like Jesus, we carry a message of hope that the world desperately needs. My prayer for you as you go and you celebrate with your families this week is that you will be God's gift to them, because the world knows they need the hope. Now, if this morning, if we can pray for you, encourage you, or anything, we want you to know there's an opportunity this morning, as there is every Sunday morning, for us to do that together. We want to walk with you on this journey of hope. If there's anything we can do, won't you come now as we stand and as we sing?